Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Yo, yo, yo. How you doing? We got to talk about Ukraine later. It certainly seems like the big counteroffensive is underway. A lot happened in the last 24 hours. Fighting between Russian troops, or at least between Russian regular troops and that Prigozhin guy in the Wagner group. Actually, he captured a Russian guy and looks to have apparently beaten him and trying to get a confession out of him for video. Wow.
How high ranking a guy do we know?
I'll have that for you coming up.
Okay.
We'll read from the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal had like five great Ukrainian stories today in their newspaper.
Yeah, I'm a little down, honestly. I've just gotten word that Astrid Gilberto has passed. She will be missed. She was the gal who did the super popular version of The Girl from Ipanema. That's like a feature in every groovy early 60s parody. Michael, perhaps you could come up with that. The Astrid Gilberto version of The Girl from Ipanema.
I don't know this.
Oh, you do. Yeah, absolutely do. You do.
Maybe
you
I do.
You clearly do. You may do. You do do. You do do, I'm certain. Stay with us.
Okay.
I don't see any activity in there. What's going on? Well, I'll get it later. Doesn't matter. So, that's right. I was going to call this, I couldn't decide. Armstrong and Getty, Business in Focus. Nah, cut the music.
Business in Focus.
Armstrong and Getty's business. No, that's even worse. The business of America is Armstrong and Getty's business.
How about Armstrong and Getty giving you the business?
Yes, do it. Play it quick.
Business in Focus sounds like a fifth grade film strip.
So a couple of stories from the world of work found very compelling and interesting. Number one, Farmers Insurance Group told, and it is a giant employer, thousands and thousands of employees, 22,000, I believe, told employees last year that most of them would be remote workers.
Yay!
And so they sold their cars, expanded their home office, moved their families near their grandchildren, whatever. Then last month, Raul Vargas, who recently took over as the new CEO, said, "We're reversing that approach. You're required to be in the office 3 days a week." And predictably to anybody but him, his workforce went insane and said, "Wait a minute, I've moved to Omaha," and that sort of thing. And so that is an ongoing struggle with farmers like so many companies these days.
Yeah, that's three seems to be the magic number of some sort. Or there's a belief that two's too few to do any good, but four is pushing it with our employees or something. But three is, I think, what they're doing around here. And we got a text from somebody who said the same thing happened where they work. And they were promised a year ago that they'd be virtual forever and adjusted accordingly. And just like you were explaining,
meanwhile, that would be tough. You have every man, woman, and child in commercial real estate touting studies and any opinion piece that says people really ought to be back in the workplace. So a lot of messaging going on back and forth.
God, I was in a strip mall area. Where was I yesterday? Someplace. And it was wild to look at. There's like one store that's still there and all these empty buildings and grass growing up in the parking lot because nobody's maintaining it. And just wild. It used to be thriving.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts. Moving along is what is it? Armstrong and Getty give you the business. That was it. That was really good.
Yeah.
So this is such an unintentionally funny article to a lot of us. It's from the Wall Street Journal. The headline is Company's New Cause, Dodging the Culture Wars. Executives rethink if and when to weigh in on potentially divisive issues, fearing backlash from all sides and developing crisis plans in case things go wrong. And they talk about, in May, clothing company The North Face released a video for Pride Month featuring drag performer Patagonia. The ad was similar to one from last year. The reaction, though, was not. Within hours, calls for the boycott of the company spread on social media. Quote, "The North Face wants to be the next Bud Light," et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm always amused by this sort of thing. So Chris Rock makes a big deal out of his giant splashy Netflix comedy thing of, hey, corporations, we don't care what your politics are. What was that? Last 9 months ago that happened? You've got all these examples out there. You've got people screaming at the top of their lungs on talk radio or opinion pieces about it. And then all of a sudden, there's a move from corporations to get away from politics, wondering if perhaps it doesn't. How did you catch on so late?
It's because everybody is so siloed, so bubbled. They don't hear our voices. In major corporate suites, all they hear are the voices of the media elite, the Eastern bubbled lefty media elite. And they developed an attitude that, oh, progressive politics, everybody's into this and we get credit for being super cool and maybe increase our market share. And there's no downside to it because nobody disagrees with this. I mean, they didn't state it like that, but that's clearly what they believed. Getting back to the article, CEOs spent the last few years adjusting to a world in which investors, customers, and employees expect corporate leaders to align themselves with social causes. Voices you hear in mainstream lefty media. The rest of us, including Chris Rock, don't want that even a little bit.
Right. We all roll our eyes when we see whatever political sign you've got in the window as we walk in. Whatever.
Yeah, huge numbers of Americans do. And, you know, frankly, I don't want to walk into, I don't know, some my favorite golf store and have a big sign that says abortion is murder. I'm there to buy golf clubs, all right? And I won't be able to hit them any better than the old ones that are sitting in my garage, but I'm going to squander my money anyway. But keep politics out of it, all right? Today, that tendency to align themselves with social causes, today that has made companies targets in the U.S. culture wars, where one step can turn a social media storm into a corporate crisis that cripples businesses and wrecks careers. Some CEOs are rethinking how or whether to weigh in on sensitive political or social matters, with trans and other LGBT issues particularly in the spotlight.
How are you so late to this party?
I know. So late to the knowledge that this stuff is extremely controversial and represents a minority viewpoint. I don't mean the viewpoint of minorities. I mean, very few people think it. But because they have the campuses, they have the media, they have entertainment, those who don't really mix and mingle with normal America start to think that's the only point of view. They're talking about Glidden paints, for God's sake. Where the CEO asked senior leaders at the company to review its processes for engaging on polarizing topics. You're a paint company! The only polarization you should be talking about is, do we want to go with approachable gray or something a little more blue-tinged? Don't tell me about drag queens! Freaking make paint that looks good on my walls! Holy cow! They go into various companies that are now bending over backwards to try to figure out exactly how to balance this stuff, and they have point systems and teams.
They're wrong. There's nothing to balance. That the sentence you had at the beginning, where companies believe their customers want socially active corporations. No, they don't. So there's nothing to balance. Just stay out of it.
Well, and if your obnoxious 24-year-old employees are insisting on it, tell them to be quiet or work somewhere else, because they're going to ruin your freaking company.
Crazy that you think you need to be involved in this at all. Hey, Lululemon, sell your pants and your shirts and everything like that. Don't tell me a thing about trans or black lives or abortion or anything else.
So this parent company of Glidden Paints used an internal scoring system to determine if and when it makes sense for the company to comment on matters that may offend some of its customers and employees or affect its brands. Senior leaders, including representatives from the legal and human resources departments, meet regularly to discuss the pros and cons of taking a position. Sell paint, you morons! And again, feel free to ignore your employees. And if they say, we need to take a stand against these fascist states that are denying gender-affirming care for children, tell them, shut up and go back to your desk.
Shut up and go back to your desk.
They'll figure it out soon enough. And the other thing is, corporate America, and first of all, thank you finally for listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show. The other thing you need to understand is that the woke mob we're talking about, in the universities, the media, entertainment, they are on a campaign to push things as far left as they conceivably can. And where they were only 5, 6, 7 years ago is very different than what they're asking people to swallow right now. It's gone from you can't fire somebody because you find out they're gay to experimental surgeries that dismember children in the name of adolescent confusion over gender should be permitted in all cases. That's a hell of a journey they're asking us to take. So, yeah, hey, Target, we're not going to fire anybody for being gay, talking to the Target of 6 years ago. Nobody is. But no, we're not going to say yay for mutilating children either, and you ought to quit pitching it. End of rant. Oh, you know what? I have one more bit of that rant. Thought it was so interesting. A couple of sources, New York Post and I think it was Wall Street Journal, are reporting on why some of these companies are feeling so much pressure to make lefty statements. And I've got to throw that in fairness. Some of the giant investment firms, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, they're managing the retirement funds of giant states like California and New York in particular, and are being told by these state retirement funds, you can handle our trillions of dollars and you can get those commissions and all the benefits of that, but you've got to push the woke stuff. And so the BlackRocks of the world are saying, okay. And so they're forcing companies or pressuring companies to take stands on social issues because their giant benefactors in the state retirement systems are telling them to.
Well, I'm glad you threw that in because that explains the whole thing.
It explains some of it.
Because I couldn't figure out why they were doing
it. Well, a lot of it, though, I don't want to attribute all of it to that because it's not true in all cases. You do have obnoxious activists. You have obnoxious employees. You have the media. How many media outlets didn't repeat "Don't say gay," which is so incredibly dishonest? All of them did. And again, the corporate CEOs, they see that, they hear that, and they think, oh, everybody agrees on this. So anyway, it's a stew of dishonesty and poisonous activism.
So we have got some breaking Trump news we should tell you about coming back, which I think is going to be a fairly big deal. In a couple of weeks.
Breaking golf news as well, speaking of the great game. Huge news.
Okay, all on the way. Stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
I'm told this is a woman losing her S when she finds out her daughter is pregnant.
Oh, what is this? Yvonne, we saw how much you love the beach, and with summer around the corner, we want to send you our newest Beacon stainless tumbler. Let us know what you think.
What the hell is this? I did not order that.
Am I viral?
Are they sending me gifts?
What is it?
I did not order that.
Is there anything else in there?
There's something else in there. Oh my God! Oh my God! Wait a minute. Wait a minute! Oh my God! I'm truly blessed!
That's, I don't know exactly what was going on there, but the scream of finding out your daughter is pregnant is similar to the scream of a masked man entering your bedroom in the middle of the night, it sounds like.
So it would seem. Yeah, and I hate to rain on your parade, Michael, but there are hints in there that this is a family that posts videos and goes viral and the rest of it. And I just...
When people, when people do that, what do they get out of it? They get anything out of that? If you go viral?
Well, if they consistently have a lot of followers who like their content, they sell ads.
Yeah, but that can't happen very often where you... Like, get it regularly? I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to...
There are people making zillions of dollars.
Not with that crap. just breaking news. I don't even know what it is, so...
Oh, the PGA Tour and LIV Golf Tour, if you're into golf, you know what I'm talking about. They have merged. They have ended their war and their lawsuits and which players can play here and who's angry at whom, and they're now going to merge. Hey la, hey la, an accord has been reached. Harmony, peace, and love.
So is that good news for you golf viewers or bad news or neither?
I think it's probably good, honestly.
Okay.
It was kind of weird there for a while. Bunch of top players go make a paycheck from the Saudis instead of playing in the big tournaments. But
okay.
The world will little note this in 10 years or 100.
Here's the big Trump news, which I actually think this is going to be kind of big. Trump has agreed to sit down with Fox News anchor Bret Baier for an interview later this month. As it says here, despite his repeated attacks on the network in recent months. So, and Bret Baier asks serious questions and follows up with serious questions. So yes. That'll be something.
This is breaking news.
Thank you.
You cannot, the president himself. You cannot intimidate Bret Baier either. He's not impressed by anybody.
So that'll be some good stuff right there. Now, Chris Christie's announcing today, the Wall Street Journal has a piece today, Chris Christie's 2024 mission to bring down Donald Trump. As it says here, the presidential contest is about to get more crowded, and the new entry, Chris Christie, is going to go on the attack immediately. Chris Christie said just the other day on CNN, which nobody paid any attention to, about Trump's not taking sides on the Ukraine war. Chris Christie said, I think Trump is a coward, and I think he's a puppet of Putin. He wouldn't say last night that Ukraine should win the war. I mean, I was stunned. It was, to me, the most stunning moment of the debate. So he's going to say stuff like that starting today, and the mainstream media is going to lap it up and get it out there, and it'll make headlines, even though he's a candidate that's going to have 1% in the polls. Anything he says anti-Trump is going to, you know, it'll make the evening news probably. It says here in the Wall Street Journal, most of the GOP's other 2024 contenders have treated Trump as if they're handling an unexploded grenade. Chris Christie is not going to.
You know, on Chris Christie, you've referenced a couple of times how his poll numbers are weak, and he won't go anywhere as a candidate. I've thought of him more as a commentator for a long time.
Yeah.
Than as a politician.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think his ratings as a commentator are higher than his poll numbers.
Because he attacks Trump all the time. I think that's why he gets so much attention on ABC this week, because he goes after Trump in a way that nobody else does, and they just love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. You know, when he left office in New Jersey, he had the lowest approval ratings of any governor in the history of the poll.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 15%.
I have a feeling Trump will be pointing that out to anybody who hasn't heard that
already. Sloppy Chris Christie.
What's going on in Ukraine? A bunch of other stuff we can get to. If you miss an hour of the show, grab the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
At the Canadian HMCS Montreal, telling reporters from Canada's Global News that the Chinese sailors told the Americans to move or risk a collision.
The fact that this was announced over the radio prior to doing it clearly indicated that it was intentional.
The Americans asking the Chinese to stay clear of the ship, but ultimately forced to slow down to avoid a crash. China's defense minister telling the U.S. to mind its own business, warning any severe confrontation between the U.S. and China would be an unbearable disaster for the world.
Mind your own business, dude says to us. So there you go.
Okay. All right, tough guy.
Latest on Ukraine in a moment.
And a major announcement from a major European country. They've banned much gender-affirming care, quote-unquote, for children. Yet another European country have said, we've looked at the evidence, there is no justifying this. Meanwhile, the mainstream media in America would tell you anybody who tries to restrict, quote-unquote, gender-affirming care is a monster.
Right, and only whack job, right-wing...
Transphobes.
Transphobe magistates do that sort of thing. And European countries. So a major dam was destroyed in Ukraine, Russian-occupied Ukraine, overnight. Both sides are blaming the other side for what happened, and that's not exactly known, though it does seem to benefit the Russians and doesn't seem to benefit the Ukrainians. The destruction of the dam could win Russia time to reconfigure its defenses, while at the same time depriving Ukraine of some of its options for its big counteroffensive that most people think is underway. Crossing the Dnipro River along that stretch of the front will now become impossible, according to the former German defense ministry official. So it's got to be Russia, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it'd be anything that would had helped the Ukrainians anyway. By the way, yesterday, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby was asked whether or not the Ukraine counteroffensive had begun, and he said, that's for them to speak to. What I can speak to is how hard we work to prepare them to be ready. So, yeah. So we got a lot invested in this, material and training and I think prestige.
I need to keep this vague, but a source close to a source with knowledge of the source says that those F-16s are going to be in the air quicker than you might think, or quicker than various commentators have suggested. Perhaps the state of training is more advanced than we were led to believe.
As has been the case the entire war at every step, and I'm not exactly sure if that's on purpose or what.
Yeah, well, I think it is to some extent, yeah, on both sides. The U.S. says, we're being extremely careful. Hey, hurry up that training. The Ukrainians are saying, oh, we don't have tanks at all. And then a week later, they're on the battlefield. Yeah.
I was watching an analyst from the Eurasia Group on TV this morning. That's Ian Bremmer's outfit. And he said a couple of things to keep in mind is that the next couple of months are going to be very bloody, even by the standards of this war, and people need to be prepared for that. So, oof, it is going to be gruesome during the counteroffensive. And secondly, statistics show, on average, any war that lasts more than a year, on average, lasts 10 years. And this one is now more than a year old.
Oh,
now,
boy.
Most wars do not have one side being backed by the United States of America, which is quite a different situation.
Indeed.
But that is still an interesting stat. Here is what got my attention. Russian infighting escalates as Wagner claims that the Russian army fired on his troops. A video posted by the leader of Russia's Wagner group, this Prigozhin guy we've been talking about now for quite a few weeks, just quite the character on the face of the earth. They released a video showing the captured commander of a mechanized infantry brigade confessing to firing on Russian forces. But this was not a Ukrainian. He is an officer in the Russian armed forces. And he appears to have been beaten. And he's being questioned to the side in this video. Do you think personal animosity has a place in this war? And the guy says, no, and then lowers his gaze. The video was posted late last night by Prigozhin as evidence of his claim that Russian defense troops are targeting his troops, signaling a marked escalation in the feud between the paramilitary force and the Russian troops. It's hard to imagine where this is going.
Boy, I'm so interested in this. Is he pushing it as hard as he is, Prigozhin, in spite of Putin or with the approval of Putin? Is he exploiting the power he has as the commander of a military force Putin desperately needs in a way that's really pretty ballsy? Or is Putin using him to undermine the generals because they're the only threat to his power? I don't know. I need to read up on this because that's such a great, interesting question. Games of Throny.
Oh, God, I would say, how about him capturing and torturing, it would look like, a Russian commander and forcing a confession of some sorts out of him and then posting the video?
That is one thing or the other. He's either got his finger in Putin's face or it's with his approval. Which is it? Which would you guess?
I don't know. I don't have any idea. Now, he also said yesterday, Prigozhin, that Ukrainian forces had retaken part of the area north of Bakhmut. So his people had fought like crazy for months and lost many men to take Bakhmut. Now, then he turned it over to the Russian forces. Now Ukraine has taken back part of that. He said troops are slowly running away. It's a disgrace. So he's bad-mouthing the Russian troops, capturing commanders and torturing them. I have no idea what's going on there.
Wow, how does that end? That work itself out? I've never seen anything like that, except in like a guerrilla war where you have various factions that, you know, spend as much time fighting each other as the, El Presidente.
And who?
Boy, this is so interesting.
God, I would say. And at this moment that the counteroffensive is taken off.
Yeah, putting aside for the moment the horrific and repugnant loss of human life, just the power dynamics are unbelievable.
Yeah. And blowing up that dam is not a minor deal either. If Ukraine can no longer cross that river, which, according to Mike Lyons and other people we'd talked to, is, you know, was going to be part of the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. So on a much cheerier note, I don't know about you all, but when it comes to Father's Day for me, I really want to express my love and appreciation for my dad. But with what? He doesn't need stuff, you know? He doesn't need a fruit basket, really. He likes fruit, but how much fruit can you eat before it goes bad? That's why this offer from Omaha Steaks is so great. My dad loves it when I send him Omaha Steaks, and yours will, too.
Yeah, and we cooked up Omaha products over the weekend when I was barbecuing, when I singed all the hair off my fingers with grill mishap. Yeah, giant fireball right in my face. Glad I didn't lose my eyesight.
So Omaha Steaks, perfectly aged, always tender, guaranteed delicious. You're not going to singe your hair off unless you really, really
well, it wasn't
don't
the steak's
do it
fault.
Right.
It's not Omaha Steaks' fault that I let the gas run for like a minute before I put a match to it.
I appreciate you clarifying that. That's great. we had the steak burgers the other night. Oh, man, those good.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to mention. Those burgers are they're the best thing ever.
Yeah. Head over to omahasteaks.com, use the promo code Armstrong at checkout, get $30 off your qualifying order. Packages can include fork tender, bacon-wrapped filet mignons, other gourmet grillables like air-chilled boneless chicken breasts, burgers, jumbo Franks. Oh, my God, the Franks are good, too. And many more favorites. And don't forget to save room for dessert. Most gift packages come with 4 delicious caramel apple tartlets. They are so good. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use the code Armstrong at checkout. Get that $30 off, an unforgettable gift guaranteed to make dad's day. If there's one thing we know, it's dads like steak. Omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code Armstrong at checkout. Minimum order is required. See site for details.
Couple of random things to throw in. If you follow sports, you know who Stephen A. Smith is. He's one of the biggest names in all of sports broadcasting. He just announced that the country needs a new president. So he's not on board with Biden being reelected.
Wow.
How much, he's a black guy, very well known, how much heft that has, I don't know.
It's interesting
that
he's coming out on that at all, but yeah, it's not good.
No, for Biden, I mean.
Right.
It's probably good for America. It's not good for Joe Biden. I came across this, I don't remember who said it, but it was kind of random, I thought it was good. Message to Kamala Harris, it's never too late to make a fourth impression. Thought that was funny.
No kidding.
As that conundrum continues on, because you got the whole Biden can't run, but his vice president is somebody nobody wants. I mean, what? Right. I was watching or reading somebody lay out the dynamics of what's happening for the 2024 presidential election. I mean, it's unprecedented in so many ways. So, we haven't even talked about the Trump story where it looks like they had a flood there, the pool broke or whatever there. You didn't follow that story?
No.
Yeah. So at Mar-a-Lago, there was some sort of flood there in one of the rooms where they were keeping the video for where he was keeping the documents. Anyway, there's a bunch of information that's not available because they had a flood, just coincidentally, apparently, right at the time where you would want the video from the security system at that point.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
It's an unfortunate timing, isn't it? Anyway, so you got that whole thing, and most people seem to think, and Donald Trump even indicated it himself yesterday in one of his truth postings, that he's going to get indicted again on a different thing. This is the whole documents case.
Boy, and the Georgia vote influence thing is ongoing.
Right.
And they're grilling those two firms that Trump hired to find voter fraud that they couldn't find enough to make any difference.
Right. But so back to the being so incredibly unprecedented with both sides, it's just so crazy. You got an ancient old guy that everybody, including people in his own party, think he's not mentally fit to be president again. You got the vice president underneath that nobody wants. Then you got the guy on the other side that's running away with the race, at least for now, unless some event is going to have to change it. A major event to change anything from Trump becoming the nominee. And he's going to be indicted at least one more time, maybe a couple of more times. Doesn't mean he'll be convicted, but he'll have to be battling that the whole time he's running. Wow, what a crazy time. And and the fact that only 5% of America wants a rematch between the two people that at least currently are most likely to be the nominees. I mean, it's wild. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine how you could end up with a crazier situation.
So I'm 92.7% confident that Joe Biden will not run. But I have no idea how they deal with the Kamala Harris conundrum. You know what? It just clicked in my brain. So Biden's not running, but nobody's saying that in the elite of the Democratic Party, because then he would become an instant lame duck and the knives would come out and they would have chaos as people clawed over each other to try to, you know, get the nomination. They want to put that off until late this year, early next year. So that part is coalesced in my mind. I think what they're going to do is declare we have so many great Democrats, such a deep bench, so many fine would-be leaders. It would be wrong for us to anoint one of them the candidate, right, meaning Kamala Harris. That would not be right. That would not be American. So she will compete with the rest. And then, of course, you know, she'll get the same vote total she usually does, practically none.
Right.
And vanish from the scene, tail betwixt legs.
Yeah. And it's possible that this so-called conundrum disappears in an instant when somebody says that. And it wasn't quite the conundrum at all.
I think I may have just spelled it out for you. Somebody jot all this down, all right? And throw it back in my face if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot, where they make up these situations that seem so difficult. And they're not difficult at all. It's like if somebody said they weren't going to run for president, how would they change their mind? They just immediately say, I changed my mind. And that's the end of the story. It's over.
Right.
Who freaking cares?
Two best descriptions of Washington, D.C. Number one, it's Hollywood for ugly people. Number two, it's one big high school.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff is high school gossip. Jeannie is so in trouble. Did you hear what she said about Jim and it got back to him? Stuff resolves itself.
So if you're uncomfortable with the direction a lot of stuff is going trans-wise, to me, the best argument you have against some of your more progressive friends is what Europe does, or what Europe is doing. And we got another country.
Major step taken by a European country saying no to experimental, treatments on children.
That's really interesting. That and other stuff on the way.
Armstrong and Getty.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
In Oregon, other places in the country, in the world, where they've tried legalizing hard drugs. Mm-hmm. And especially with the hard drugs that are on the street now, what that leads to. And we got into the question of what is the libertarian view of this, since the libertarian view is all drugs should be legal. How does that meet up with reality? Well, it turned into quite the Twitter conversation. I don't know if you've been following this, with Tim Sandifer and me weighing in and a bunch of other smart people, I'm not including myself in that, arguing with Tim about that. Maybe we could get into that next hour, because I find that a really interesting conversation.
Agreed. Love to do that. Speaking of vexing decisions for a society to make, Texas recently became the most populous state to ban, I'm quoting the Washington Post now, gender-affirming care for minors. As the governor assigned a bill outlawing puberty blockers and hormone therapy for people under 18, it was a really sad day, said Lisa of Houston, who had lobbied against the bill with her transgender daughter. So the coverage from the Washington Post, blatantly biased, as always. The second sentence is an activist expressing her chagrin. She said Abbott's signing the bill hit particularly hard because it came at the start of Pride Month, blah, blah, blah. I would rewrite that lead. Texas on Friday became the most populous state to ban experimental medical procedures on children who are confused about their sex, because that's what it is. They mentioned in the WAPO that several medical associations, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, came out against this. The American Academy of Pediatrics is a far-left organization. Their guidelines in this topic were written by one woman. They did not convene a panel of 100 experts and study the data. One woman wrote their policy, and she's an activist on the topic. Now, I say that to lead into the fact that the Norwegian Healthcare Investigation Board, announced it would be revising its current guidelines regarding so-called gender-affirming care for minors because it no longer considers them to be evidence-based. The board also acknowledged that the growing number of teenage girls identifying as male post-puberty remains understudied. The point of that, which they explain a little bit later in the article, is that the vast majority, probably around 80% of girls especially, who report that they're transgender pre-puberty or mid-puberty, abandon that idea by the time they're through puberty. They get to womanhood and say, no, of course I'm a woman. Sorry about that. The vast, vast majority. It's a social contagion among impressionable adolescent girls, mostly, all this stuff.
I would like a headline where it said, Texas joins Norway, and it's thinking about pre-adult transgender surgery.
Right, experimental treatments. Under the proposed updated guidelines, the use of puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and transition-related surgery would be restricted to research context and no longer provided in clinical settings at all. Norway joins Finland, Sweden, and the United Kingdom in introducing greater safeguarding for children. In the United States, I think we're at 9 or 10 states at least who've banned that sort of experimental procedures for individuals under 18.
I remember I talked yesterday about how the New York Times approached it. They had a map of the United States from 2001 and a map now. And they showed how there were no laws about this just 2 years ago. And now there are all these laws because of right-wing lunatics. No, it's because it's a trans thing. Is that new? There was no need to have a law about this.
Couple of more pieces of info. It's good. She writes that professional. This is a doctor who studies this stuff. It's good that more professional organizations are recognizing the experimental nature of this approach in children. An existing body of research shows that most kids with gender dysphoria grow to be comfortable in their bodies upon undergoing puberty, and that those wishing to transition suddenly post-puberty may be experiencing a social contagion. These studies have been dismissed because they don't fit the preferred activist narrative. That narrative, however, will continue to fall apart. A recent paper in the academic journal Archives of Sexual Behavior discusses how the placebo effect has not been adequately taken into consideration when interpreting new findings supporting transitioning in children. Now, this is not the standard, you gave me a placebo in a test, and I felt better. Merely being studied in a study or an experiment, people tend to say, yes, I'm feeling better, because they want so badly to feel better. And they feel like they're involved in something that might make them feel better. So they think the self-reporting of, yes, my gender transition stuff has been rosy, is partly the placebo effect. People are desperate to say this was a good idea.
Interesting. That's really interesting. If you missed an hour of the show, we do 4 hours. Grab it on the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.